Let us turn in our Bibles to the book of James. We are reading James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. I will preach from verse 9 to 12 as we preached already from verse 1 to 8 last week. This is what the word of God says. James 3, 1 to 12. It says, "My beloveds, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beasts and birds, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and our Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Thus a spring sent forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening. Can a fig tree, my beloved, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." This is a continuation of this portion of scriptures. As we saw, James wrote this portion of scriptures, or this epistle, to the Jews who had been scattered throughout the Roman Empire. And we saw that James wrote this portion of scripture especially for those who are in teaching ministry, or those who are aspiring to be in the teaching ministry. Those who want to be the teachers, the preachers of the word of God, and those who are already, those are the one James is writing this portion of scripture is. As we see in verse 1, he reminds them of the stricter judgment which will be upon those who preach the word of God. It's not something to take for granted, to take lightly when you preach the word of God. It's not a platform for you to make your own ideas or to boast upon, knowing that every word which comes out of your mouth, by those words you'll be judged. By those words you'll be justified, or you'll be condemned. By those words you can be able to turn the people of God astray, or you can lead them the way of salvation. And then why he was warning them, we saw that it's because as human beings, we are all prone to stumble. We fall. We are sinful people. We are children of Adam's. We stumble. And James say that we are to depend on one person who was flawless, who was perfect, who didn't stumble, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls to these people who inspire or aspire to become children of God, those who are to be the teachers of the word of God, and those who are already children of God, he tells them that we are to control our tongues. We are to control our tongue. He gives an example of a controlled something. He gives first the example of an horse, so huge and large, it can be so powerful. If it is well trained, it can be controlled by a 5-year-old. But if a horse is not well trained, it can kill even the strongest person in the world. The second example James gives was an example of a sheep. He says that, look at it, it's big, it's huge, it's powerful, but it can be controlled by a pilot, a person, where he wants it to be. An example of a controlled tongue can be a blessing to people. We are to control our people. We are not to be careless people as Christians. In verse 5, it comes to the heart of the matter. We say that it talks about the danger, actually the danger of the tongue. It says that the tongue is like fire. It says that it can cause many damages. It can cause many damages. If we are not careful with our tongue, we can provoke, we can do many things, we can divide people, we can hurt people, we can destroy lives of people. He told us that the tongue is so powerful that it can destroy. We have to be aware of that. We are not to use our tongues as a weapon to cut people or to win battles with, because when we are out of control, the tongue can hurt big time. And we saw that the Bible is full of examples of how, which kind of tongue a believer should not have. We saw a tongue like which is gossiping tongue, slanderous tongue, we saw a divisive tongue, a lying tongue. That's not the tongue believers should have. We as children of God, we are to control our tongue. Our tongue should be as the tongue of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an exercise. This is not that we become a Christian, we learn directly how to control our tongue. This is an ongoing journey. All of us, we are to learn to control our tongue so that we are not hurting people. As a conclusion, we ask the question, how can we then tame the tongue? How can we control the tongue? And we prayed the prayer as David prayed in Psalm 141, verse 3. He says, set my guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. David knew how the tongue is. He prayed to God, the creator of the tongue, to be able to control, to help him to control his tongue. And today we come to the topic of today is the tongue that blesses our God and Father. The tongue that blesses our God and Father. As I said last week, that when I came to verse 9 of this portion of scripture, I couldn't just let it go. When I read this word that which James wrote to his people, when he says, with it, that is the tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. In verse 10 he says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. When I read that portion of scripture, I was challenged by the word of how we can use our tongue in a positive way. James said that with our tongue, we bless our God and Father. We bless our Lord. We bless our Maker with our tongue. And I could not go through it. It caught my mind, it caught everything. And that's what we're going to spend most of the time today, the tongue that blesses our God and Father. When we hear the word to bless, I am sure all of us have prayed at some time, God, can you please help this person? God, can you please bless me? God, bless those people. Bless you. You've heard many things, people talking about to bless. We've heard time after time. If you've been to many evangelical meetings, they're all about people praying to God to bless. God, bless me. Bless, 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 bless. And in Scripture, we see clearly that when God blesses somebody, what does he do? God shows his favor to the person. God pours his goodness to that person. God pours his kindness, shows his kindness to that person or that group of people. So when we pray to God to bless us, what we pray for is that God will do us a favor. God will show us his goodness. God will pour the blessings on us, all the good things in our lives. And we see this in the book of Genesis, I think chapter 1, when God talks to Adam. We see God blesses Adam and Eve. He blesses them. He gives them the earth and he gives them the promises of favor. He's going to do them the favor. We see this again when God makes a covenant with Noah. God pours his blessing. He shows his favor to Noah. He says that he will bless him, he will care for him, he will protect him, he will meet his needs and also his generations. It doesn't just stop there. We see as well when God speaks to Abraham, same thing happens. God pours his blessings. God shows his favor to this man, Abraham. He says that he will bless him, he will bless his generation, he will bless him and him with children, with riches. God pours his favor to the people. But here, James is saying that with our mouth, we bless the Lord and Father. What does it mean when we are told to bless our God and Father? We know that when God does that, he adds to us. He adds something. God does something to us. But you and I, as human beings, what can we add to God who is all-sufficient? What extra thing can we add to God when we say, with our mouth, we bless the Lord and our Father? This is what we spend much time on. So this sentence, bless the Lord, appears in Scriptures 23 times. And in the Old Testament, it appears 23 times. It appears 7 times in the book of Psalm, in chapter 103 and 104. And then it appears only 5 times outside the book of Psalm. And it's always a call for a form of worship to God. When we are said that we bless the Lord, we are called to worship God. We are called to render him the worship which is due to him. And we see in the book of First Chronicles, if you have your Bible, you could turn there. First Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 20. First Chronicles 29:20. It says here, "Then David said to all the assembly, 'Now bless the Lord your God.' So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of the fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king." We see there is a command here. David commands the people of God that they may bless the Lord. They may give worship to God. And this is also something we see in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 5. Nehemiah 9:5. It says, "And the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Yodiah, Shebaniah, and Petiah said, 'Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise.'" We see in scriptures, the habit is people of God are called to bless the Lord, to worship the Lord, to give this worship to the God of the universe. Praise and to bless the Lord is basically the same word. It's basically, but it's slightly different in the essence of it. To say to bless the Lord or to praise the Lord, it's almost the same thing. But the Hebrew word for bless derives from the word barak. Barak is like what is called this president of USA, Barack Obama. That barak. Barak, that word means to bless. But what does it mean? It signifies to kneel. Kneeling, it signifies to give adoration. It signifies to give gratitude to someone. To bless the Lord means we are to kneel before Him. By kneeling, we show sign of submission to Him. We show adoration to Him. And we show gratitude to our God. So we are called to bless the Lord. That means that we are called with our tongue, with our body, with all our being to kneel before Him, to adore our God, and to show the sign of adoration to before our God. I saw a scholar who has been studying the old Hebrews language. His name is Jeff Benner. I think he's a Jew. But he wrote this about the word to bless. Bless. What does it mean? He says here that the Hebrew word, a verb, barak, means to kneel, as seen in Genesis 24, verse 11. However, when written in a pile form, it means to show respect, usually translated as bless. As seen in Genesis 12:2, a related Hebrew word is berakah, meaning a gift or present. From this, we can see the concrete meaning behind the pile form of the verb barak. It is to bring a gift to another while kneeling out of respect. The extended meaning of this word is to do or give something of value to another. Elohim cares for us by providing for our needs, and we in turn respect Elohim by giving Him of ourselves as his servants and slaves. End quote. This is what he says, that we are by giving our blessing to God, by blessing the Lord, we are showing respect, we are giving back, we are acknowledging who God is. Every time in scriptures, God said, I will bless, as I said, it means I will show you a favor. I will undertake for you. I will support you. I will protect you. I will prosper you, as we say here. But when we say, I bless the Lord, it doesn't mean that we are more powerful. It does not mean that we are strong. We become in a position of God. We can add to God. We can do something to God. No, it means that we bless him by honoring his name. We bless him by speaking of his wonders. We bless him with our adoration. The word to bless the Lord, as James writes here, that with our tongue we bless the Lord, it means that with our deepest, profound, and most sincere kind of praise and adoration, we confess, we profess what is inside our heart about God. We say it with our mouth. We profess, we say what is in our heart about our God. And this way of worshiping God or praising God, it talks here in this place about the voice, about the tongue. How we use our tongue to bless our God. How we bless and use our tongue to honor our God. How do we use our tongue in a positive way with whatever comes out of our mouth? That's what it is all about. Of course, we worship God with our way of living. We worship God with the way we do things. But here it talks specifically about the use of our tongue. Why are we to bless the Lord? Knowing that we can't add anything to him. Knowing that he's all sufficient. God is everything. And James said here that we are blessing our God and Father with our tongue. Why? Because the Lord is holy. The Lord is holy. Everyone who knows the chief end of man, who knows that the chief end of man is to glorify God and worship him and enjoy him forever, we'll know that the holiness of God is the sum of his name. God is holy. God is perfect. God is our God, and we worship him. We bless his name because he's good. The Jews of old, they were worshiping God, were praising God, they were blessing the Lord at a set of times every day. Was it 5 or 7 times? They were praising the Lord time after time. They were blessing the Lord time after time to acknowledge his goodness. So you and I, we must remember the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We do that with our tongue. We bless the Lord. We acknowledge that God is separate. God is holy. God is different. We cannot appreciate God's goodness unless we understand his holiness. Our tongue must confess. Our tongue must acknowledge this of who God is. God's holiness means his excellencies is all surpassing. God is just. God is upright and full of virtue. God hates evil. When, as children of God, those who are changed and transformed, those who have tasted the blood of Jesus Christ, knowing that it is able to save us, those who know that we are redeemed, we live for God's glory. Every time we think of God, there must be a reaction in our heart that which comes through our mouth, we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. I know that most of the time we use our mouth to ask to God. We use our mouth sometimes only to gossip or to talk about God. We use our time and our mouth many times to talk about theology and stuff. But sometimes, most of the time, we forget to bless His name. Theology is our hobby. And we only talk about it and we want to go into details. We want to go through this. We want to know the things that, which is around. And we forget that we are to bless the Lord. We are to show our gratitude to Him that God is great. God is merciful. God is good in our lives. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 13, Habakkuk knew about this God. He says that you are of purer eyes than to hold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Habakkuk knew about this God. He knew that God is holy. God is separate. God is pure. God is just. He said, you are of purer eyes than to hold evil and cannot look on wickedness. If we understand God, we have to understand His holiness. And when we know the holiness of God, God is so holy that He and us are separated in many ways, that He is holy, we are fallen people. God, out of His mercy, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, because He wanted to have a relationship with His creatures, His people. He sent His Son to die. The blood of the Lamb had to be poured so that this fallen person can have relationship with this holy God. And when we think of that, we have a relationship with God, praise, blessedness should come out of our mouth. We should praise our God. And the way we can use it, we use our tongue to praise the Lord. So as a child of God, every day in your life, as a preacher of the word of God, do not forget to praise the Lord. Do not forget to bless the name of God. Do not forget to show that you understand what it is to be saved. Do not forget that you understand what it means to be a child of God, to be chosen, to be elected, to be put in a place where you are, is a child of God. With our mouth, we bless the Lord. With our mouth, we bless the Lord. With our tongue, we use it to confess what is in our heart, that God is great, God is holy. David in Psalm 103, if you have your Bible, if you have time, read Psalm 103 and 104. Psalm 103 and 104. I love the sound of the pages of the Bible. It's good. Let us turn to it and see how this monumental psalm begins. Psalm 103, David begins by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. David acknowledged this. David knows who the Lord is dealing with, who this God is dealing with. He dedicated all this psalm writing about the same topic. James is calling later. He's saying that I know of who God is. I know of what God has done. What should I do is I have to bless the Lord. And he commands all his body, all his being, all his life to bless the Lord. He begins with the inner part. What differentiates us from animals? The soul. He commands his soul to bless the Lord. Why? For he is holy. In verse 2, he gives us the reason, the essence of this blessedness. Why is he commanding his soul to be there, to bless the Lord, to worship the Lord, to glorify the Lord, to adore the Lord? Why is he commanding it? He tells it here, my soul, do not forget the benefits. Do not forget the benefits. And in the rest of this psalm, David names, he does also, all these benefits, one after one. He names them, why his soul should not stop to bless the Lord. We have a lesson here that we have to remember our history. We have to remember who we are, who we were. We have to know that God has been merciful to us. God has been good to us. God is compassionate. God has saved us. Today we have a relationship with him. And we have to count blessings in our lives, to see the benefits we have as children of God. And we are to tell our souls not to stop or not to forget all these benefits. And we are to bless the Lord. Verse by verse, David goes on this list. In verse 19, he pictures the Lord sitting on the throne of heaven, sovereign over all universe. He sees the grandeur, the magnitude of this God. And in verse 20 to 21, he renews this call to bless the Lord. He calls even the angels of the Lord to join with him. He calls all creatures to come and join with him, blessing the Lord. We see the essence why James is saying that with our mouth we bless the Lord. James was writing to the born again, to the children of God, to those who were saved, and more to those who were inspiring or aspiring to become the children of to be the teachers of the word of God. He wants the lives, he wants the mouth to be the mouth which honors God, which sends people to the Calvary, which shows the grand, the goodness and the mercy and all that benefit we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us use our tongue in a positive way. Let us use our tongue as David does here. Here, I read this Psalm 103. I saw that he gives three different categories of these benefits. This benefit we find from the Lord. The first one, the benefit we have, is pardon from the guilt of sin. David, when he reads his own life, when he sees his own life, praises and worship come from his mouth because he sees that he's been pardoned from the guilt of sin. We are to bless the Lord because of this. Our tongue must confess the Lord because of this, because he has forgiven us. He has pardoned us from the guilt of sin. Sin has no grip on us. Sin will not take us to hell. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are free persons. We are children of God. And the second thing, second benefit he sees in Scripture is that the purification, the cleansing from the effect of sin. David said that I am not only pardoned I am cleansed. Sin doesn't have effect on me. I am a free person. And the third benefit David says here is the compassion and mercy in spite of his fallenness. He sees his life, he sees his heart, he sees the benefits, he blesses the Lord. He uses the same dangerous member of our body, the one which can destroy, the one which can set the forest at fire, the one which can divide, the one who can send people to hell, if we are not careful. We can destruct people, giving them what the flesh wants, and forget to teach them about the word of God. And the whole congregation goes to hell, because we are not presenting the gospel of God. But David is using this same member to glorify the Lord, to bless the Lord. And this is a great lesson. That's why I said last week I could not go through and go past this. I was caught thinking about this. With our mouth we bless the Lord. We have too much sometimes in our lives. We have everything we need. Everything we have, we think is for granted, is given that we have them. And we forget that it's the Lord who gives us. We forget that it's the Lord who protects us. And we forget to bless his name with our tongue. Or we say that we are shy. I am a Christian by wearing a cross. I am a Christian because I don't swear. I am a Christian because of that. But we forget to confess what we believe with our tongue, to bless our Lord and our Master, our Maker, the one who saved us. With our tongue, we bless the Lord and our Father. In Psalm 104, David continues again. He calls his soul again to praise the Lord. He gives worship to God with his mouth again. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul." We are to learn as God's people. It's good to talk about theology. It's good about Christian virtues, and it's good to talk about any other things, and great history or great stuff, family values. It's good about talk about salaries and work and career and stuff. The most important thing, the chief end of man, is to glorify God. We do it with our tongue. Most of the things I know from you is from your tongue, what you have told me. Of course, I can read the body language. He's upset, she's upset, he's tired, he's fine, he's full of energy, he's hungry or she's hungry. I can read those kind of things. But most of the things I know from you is from your tongue. And we are to bless the Lord with our tongue. Great lesson. Great lesson. Let us use our tongue to bless the Lord. We see it in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 68. Luke 1:68. When angel of the Lord had come and visited Elizabeth, told her that she was going to have the child, John the Baptist. John, I don't know his surname. I don't think his surname was Baptist. John. And Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that he says this in Luke 1:68. He says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people." When Zacharias saw what the Lord was doing, when he saw that God's favor was upon his life, what he did was he blessed the Lord in return. you and I, we are to be people who reflect our lives. We are to be people who know our history. We know who we are. We know that without the mercy of God, we are nothing. None of us would have been here. We know that without the goodness of God, we are not going to be here. And we are to praise the Lord. And Zacharias does here. He blesses the Lord. And in the book of Ephesians 1:3, you well can say this just like that. He's busy studying that right now. And we have Frederick, who spent 2 of his years studying or listening to sermons about Ephesians. Ephesians 1:3, Apostle Paul is writing this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. We see again, he acknowledges. We have it in, it is written down, but Apostle Paul had it in his mind, his heart, and I'm sure he said it in his mouth and then wrote it down. That we bless the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father. He knows that God has blessed us. We are to bless him in return. We are to show gratitude to him in return. And this is not the end. There are many people who have done it. In Matthew 21:9, we see the multitude doing the same thing. The multitude in Matthew 21:9, when Jesus was entering Jerusalem. The Bible says, Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. People acknowledge who Jesus, who this Savior, this God of glory is, and praises comes out of the heart. They confess it. They say it. You and I are to use our tongue to bless the Lord and our Father. Really important. Really important. In our generation, I know that we sing great hymns here. We're going back to older times to sing great hymns, to sing, to read good theological books. Why? Because those people knew who God was. Every hymn was giving praise to God. It was showing blessedness to God. These people understood. And in our generation, we are to be God and people who also bless the Lord. Thank God there are some new hymns, songs, which I can familiarize with, written by good people. We blesses the Lord. It's God-centered, not man-centered. But you and I are to use our tongue to bless the Lord and Father, to bless him, to show our gratitude and show that we appreciate what he has done for us. And then James goes on to talk the contrary of a tongue which does what it's supposed to be doing, to bless the Lord. He says, to bless God is the exact opposite of the word to blaspheme. To bless God is opposite of to blaspheme. To use the Lord of God in vain, to curse God. With our tongue we are to honor God's name. James demonstrates this, this hypocrisy of the tongue, of uncontrolled tongue. He says, the second part of chapter, verse 9, it says, with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. This same tongue which blesses the Lord, with this same tongue we curse men who have been created in similitude of God. Every human being has been created in the image of God. Everyone who has ever lived has been created in the image of God. Even man in his sinful nature, the man who's deprived, the man who's going to hell, is still being created in the image of God. Why? Man is intelligent. Man has a soul. Man has a conscience. Man can choose what is right and wrong. Man will stand before God in judgment because he carries the image of God with him. We are to respect people. We are not to use our tongue to curse the people who are created in the image of God. We are not to use the tongue which is used to pray, to praise the Lord, to bless the Lord, to curse the people who are created in his own image. We are not to do that. In verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My beloved, these things ought not to be so. He says, we can't use the same tongue to bless the Lord and the same tongue to condemn men. We are not to use our tongues for what is not good, what is not profitable for man. We are to use it in a good way. We cannot be double-minded. We cannot be double-minded. Our yes must be yes, our no must be no. As children of God, as those who have been saved. Here, he asks some questions in verse 11 and 12. Common sense questions. He says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my beloved, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Can you go to a same, let's say in Kovoyo, okay, there are some springs of water. I've heard people from Nukabi saying that they have best water because it comes from Kovoyo, okay, something. We drink SAO, it's rubbish and whatever they say. But people from Kovoyo, okay, who have these spring waters, can you go to that same spring of water and then take a cup? Water is so nice, and then the second cup is so bad. It doesn't make sense. You don't see that happening. If it's the spring water, a good one, it's good one. Water is nice. You can't go to the sea here, take a cup of water, it's salty, and the next cup is not salty. No, it's the same as it is. He's asking that question. And then he says that, can you go to a fig tree? And now you go there, you find figs. And then the next time you go to the same tree, you find olives. The common sense says, no. And he goes on. He gives mundane, everyday examples. He wants us to understand that we are to be people on our guard each day. Every time we open our mouth, there must be some filters. Some filters here. Not everything which is here comes here. We are to control our tongue, especially when we are alone or when we are somebody, when the person we want to talk about is not there. We are to be careful, God's people. We have to be careful in use our tongue. There are some people who the only thing they have to say about the church is that those people gossip too much. Those people gossip too much. And this is identified in the Church of God. It's a shame. You and I have to be on our guard. We have to know that out of a olive tree, you can't find figs. Out of a child of God whose tongue is to bless the Lord, we can't find filthy language, any flippant language, any God dishonoring or blasphemous cursing words out of our mouth. Our tongue is to bless the Lord. Our tongue is to bless the Lord. That's the challenge we have, all of us. Remember in your daily lives to bless the Lord with your tongue. Remember, if you have a platform, an opportunity to present the word of God, let your sermon be filled with the words which praises the Lord, which sends people to see the goodness of God, and praise and worship comes out of their own lives. Let us not be careless people with careless tongues. Let us be people who honor our God and show our gratitude to Him because He has forgiven us, because he satisfies our needs, because He shows His mercy to us, is compassionate to us. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this tongue you have given us. God, when we contemplate what we can do with our tongue in a positive way, we can achieve what you have called us to do, which is to glorify you and enjoy you together. Father, with our tongue, we can use it to honor you. We can use it to glorify you. We can use it to bless your name. We can use it, Lord God, to call the angels of God, to call the creatures, as David did, Lord, to worship, to glorify you, to honor you together. We do thank you for the tongue. Lord, help us to use the tongue in a way which honors you, the way which glorifies you, the way which shows that we are, Lord, grateful for what you have done. Father, help us. Lord, those of us who have been using the tongue in unworthy manner, Lord, in a way which doesn't honor and glorify you. Those of us who have forgotten to use our tongue, Lord, to glorify you. Teach us, Lord, to use it in a way which honors you. Father, we pray that our language will be God-honoring. Our voices will be God-glorifying. Lord, our speech will be today, Lord, honor and glory. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.